The world of entrepreneurship is a path that's less traveled and it can feel more lonely. So there is, that's a true sentiment. But I think that what I want you to be aware of is most entrepreneurs end up feeling alone and lonely in the path because their current environment and the people who are within them, their current friends, their current family, they don't understand what the entrepreneur is driven by. So how do you turn your business into an actual brand? Well, my name is Bijal Patel and I've had 13 years of corporate experience working at big Fortune 500 companies, and I'm taking all of that juicy firsthand experience and have brought it into my company launch. Within this podcast, you're gonna learn about branding, vision, identity, mindset, and how to scale your business to the next level. So let's go ahead and own your brand. Seven things I wish I had known earlier. So I am 5 years into my entrepreneurial journey, and I think these seven things are going to help make it really clear the lessons you can learn from me and potentially avoid pitfalls in your own journey. So number one, the mental is so much more connected to the body than I had ever realized before. So I'm on a journey right now doing 75 hard. And it is incredible the way that your mind, we know our mind is connected to our body, but the influence of energy and even the eradication of self-limiting beliefs that happens from being able to check in with your mental state through your body. I think a lot of times we kind of treat them as they're two separate things. And most entrepreneurs are looking for clarity. They want to be able to focus. They want to be able to have the strategic right decision that they're taking next. And if we can get more into our body, it's our body that's feeding our mind with what it needs. And our mind is what's eating up. Like, I think there's a crazy statistic where like 80% of your mind is literally taking, like, eating calories from what you eat in a day. So that's number one. Number two is how you talk to yourself is way, way, way more important than I've ever realized before. So if you're like me and you grew up in a household where there was a lot of criticism and there was a sense of like you had to achieve in order to get love. A lot of immigrants go through this. A lot of people who are just held up to really high standards. Sometimes it's academically focused. Other times it is focused more on sports. So if somebody wants to see their kid become like the high school football star or soccer player star, and other times it's actually connected to spirituality. So a lot of people end up going through cultural and spiritual trauma, religious trauma, because they're being held to a really high standard where maybe their father or mother was actually had their profession was within the church. So if you've gone through one of those environments where you learned, you didn't learn unconditional love, but you learned that you had to perform in order to receive love, you're going to be really critical in your inner critical voice. There's an amazing book that I recommend to a lot of my clients called Conquering Your Inner Critical Voice. But there is this, another way to put it, there's this concept called metacognition. And metacognition is the idea about thinking about your thoughts. And if you can start to even stop and see how you're thinking and talking to yourself, it makes such a huge difference to turn that stuff around into positive language that's going to amplify and move you forward. So if you can talk to yourself in a way that feels like you're building yourself up, it's going to be absolutely amazing. Number three, your identity beats out your action any single day of the week, unless you are building a new or upgraded identity. And if that's the case, you have to go with action first. So our statement at launch is our tagline is vision, identity, and growth, because first you have to be able to see the picture of where you want to go, what you want in your life, what are your goals, where are you going to be 6 months from now, 1 year from now, 3 and 5 years and 10 years down the road. When you can get clear on that, then you can work on your identity. So if you're somebody who's like trying to get, let's say you're a 50K months and you're trying to get 100K, the first thing they tell you is become the kind of person who has the identity of being at 100K months. In order to actually be able to do that and get to that level, you first have to take action to in order to get to that level of where you can identify with the new identity. So I think a lot of times people get caught up in the manifestation of like, oh, I'm going to be at 100K months. I'm 100K, you know, entrepreneur. My business is doing like this. And they try to repeat numbers over and over again or look at a vision board. But the reason the identity doesn't stick is your subconscious doesn't believe it to be true. So you have to action your way into, which means you have to understand the thinking, the behavior, the habits of what do people do who are at 100K months. You also have to audit your own talk to yourself, that inner critical voice again, and what are the beliefs that used to serve you at 50K months that no longer serve you when you're at 100K. So there's a lot more introspection that ends up happening when you're trying to build a new identity. And the way to cut through that after spending some time there without getting stuck there is through action. You've got to be able to action your way into that new identity. Point number three, pushing yourself to your edges and a bit beyond is where the growth lives. And it's super, super painful, but that's where that pain actually is realized into your potential. Being able to do things that are uncomfortable gets you right to the edge. And then you're like, oh my God, this is what I'm capable of. This is what I am possible of doing. What can I actually do? So a lot of times people hold back and they stall out, and it's the same four Fs: fight or flight, freeze or fawning. So when it comes down to how do you get past these comfort zones so you can realize what your like untapped potential is, you have to be able to act in courage. And the literal definition of courage is to move forward, to take an action in spite of fear. The fear is never going to go away. And the reason that it becomes so challenging to be able to be uncomfortable is because there are so many fears involved. What will other people think of me? What is the fear of success? It's like, well, if I get this done once, what if it doesn't happen again? What about the fear of failure? Am I going to be embarrassed that I put myself out there and I didn't get to my goal? Is that going to be more embarrassing? If I throw this event and only three people come, is that going to be embarrassing? And that becomes a combination of you start to play smaller and you start to accept excuses of, well, it's probably not the best time in the economy to do that. If I were to throw an event, I want to make sure that everything is aligned and it makes a lot of sense and we're really clear on what the purpose is and what the experience is and blah, 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 blah. Those are all stall tactics, which are really hiding under freeze. You're frozen, you're not sure what to do. And then there's that sense of fawning, which is what will people think about me? How will I come across? What if I don't sell this thing out? I was just talking to a friend of mine who felt like the event that he threw was a little bit smaller than he wanted it to be. And it was his first event ever, and it was international, and he was still beating himself up over it. And I was like, whoa, 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 this is amazing. Do you know how amazing this actually is? It's so crazy that you're able to do this. And it was just cool to be able to see that someone who's stretching themselves to a limit still ends up with that inner critical voice that comes back at them again in that context of, oh my God, I tried something new. What's my feedback to myself? The fifth lesson I want to share is that it's true. The world of entrepreneurship is a path that less traveled, and it can feel more lonely. So there is that, that's a true sentiment. But I think that what I want you to be aware of is most entrepreneurs end up feeling alone and lonely in the path because their current environment and the people who are within them, their current friends, their current family, they don't understand what the entrepreneur is driven by. Like, they don't get why we've got this crazy persona and this personality to be able to push it and go to the limit. And it's amazing to see that what it feels like when you're on, you know, the inside, they don't understand it. And so in order to get to your next level and to feel less lonely, it's so important to be a part of coaching groups. Like, we have our coaching group of clients and it's on fire. We have a program called Brandfinity. We meet every Thursday, and there's a a nice size group of us who get together to share what we're actually thinking about, what's going on in our business. Like just today, we talked about how do we take our core behaviors and then tie them back into wins. So when we have team meetings, we've got the team fired up and everyone's on all go and we're running in the same direction. So if you understand that the people around you have to change, the next simple step is like, where do you make an investment back into yourself, back into your business, so you're around a group of people that's like way beyond the mastermind level? Personally speaking, I'm pretty much over masterminds. I feel like that's overhyped, underrated, bunch of courses that apply to, I don't know, it's like cookie cutter courses. I'm not really into that. I prefer much more of a bespoke, a smaller community who's actually engaged and tied in. Lesson number six. Your lack of energy stems from decades of not believing in yourself fully. Your lack of energy stems from decades of not believing in yourself fully. So it's really hard. Like we have people who come into our program and they have the potential and skills and expertise to go places. But because there's so much mental reprogramming that we need to do, so much work that we need to like undo, so many neural pathways that have been formed that don't have healthy outcomes to it. It is crazy. It's crazy to look at that and then say you're expecting to be able to change within 1 or 2 or 3 months. When you're working on changing your energy level, changing your belief in yourself, I want you to think about it in more like 6 month increments, because that's more true and honest to when you'll actually see results. So, you know, there's guidelines of like how much weight you can lose, blah, blah, blah. If someone were to tell you, hey, I lost 100 pounds in 4 weeks, you're not going to believe them because it just beats all scientific data. And I know there's like Ozempic and different things out there in the marketplace, but just to use a general average, you can lose about 1 to 2 pounds a week. So if you say 100 pounds, you're looking at maybe 2 years to be able to lose that, maybe one if you're on the more aggressive side. So you want to be able to right size what your expectations are on how do I change the, okay, great. I do have these decades of where I didn't fully believe in myself, but you can overcome that. Just give yourself enough runway to know that you're able to do that. And the last piece is, this was a highly debated post that I did. I was calling out that I think authenticity has just been overhyped as a word in together. And I just want to remind a fresh lesson that I have from my business, my team, my clients, is that integrity, honesty, and actually caring, like really caring, still outranks authenticity. And there was some debate on the post. People are like, what does authenticity mean? It involves all of that stuff. And I'm like, does it though? Like, does it? Authenticity to me, and the version I take of it, is being your realest and truest self to yourself. There might be a rawness that's associated with authenticity because you're just keeping it real. Whereas honesty is that you're honest regardless of whatever situation it is. Integrity is you said you were going to do something and you said you were going to do it by a certain time. Are you closing the loop on doing that? Those are some of the pillars of where do you build your self-confidence and your security within yourself. So authenticity could even be more of like a vibe. It's like a feeling. It's a vibe. It's like, hey, I feel super authentic. You could still authentically feel like you didn't want to follow through on a commitment you made to a friend. How many friends back out of stuff last minute? How many business partnerships go awry? How many joint ventures don't make it? Those were all committed to in integrity. And then later, quote unquote, oh, I don't feel like it's in alignment. That's an authenticity play. And I don't believe in that. I think if you're in integrity, you stick to your commitments and you end up following them through. So I hope you enjoy this. This is the 7 lessons that I wish I had learned earlier. If you like this, we would love a review. It'd be awesome if you subscribe to this. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you on the next one.